I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But right now on the Harbor One hotline, it is Chris Sale of the Boston Red Sox. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Doing well. How are you guys?
How's the weather? What are we looking at? 75, 80? What's the deal today?
From what I've seen, it's better than everywhere else. So we're rolling.
It's better than here. Absolutely better than here.
That's for sure.
How are you progressing post Tommy John? How are you feeling?
Good. We got done throwing yesterday. Kind of on an every other day schedule now. Get pushed back to 90 feet tomorrow, and just progressing. Everything's been moving, you know, pretty steady for the last couple months, which is good. So. Right where we want to be.
Is how is camp different during the new COVID world that we live in?
It is very different in a number of ways, but it's been interesting, you know. And I know that it's, you know, it's different. It's a little, you know, there's some challenges, there's some obstacles and stuff, but you know, the main goal is still the same, you know, getting better and practicing. You know, there's some different things that we have to do, but, you know, part of it, you deal with it and you move on.
Are you guys forbidden from doing team dinners at Twin Peaks or anything like that? What's the what's the guidance down there?
Yeah, we're a little bit higher class than that. We, you know, we're more steak dinner type of people, and, I don't know. I'm not too sure what the protocols are. I know that you know, big gatherings aren't good, and you know, some of the other things. But we're finding ways to have a good time and mix it up and still get the work we need done and enjoying it. You know,
what's it like? What, Chris? What's it like? What's it like to have Alex Cora back managing?
Excuse me. Sorry. It's unbelievable. I mean, I know I've said it, you know, a lot, and I probably sound like a broken record, but, you know, there was never really anybody else for the job in my eyes. What he's done for me in my career and what I've seen him do for other people, and, you know, just the camaraderie, the trust that we can have in him, his passion for, you know, the game of baseball, everyone around here and the Red Sox organization. It, you know, everything just kind of matched up. It's one of those things where kind of the stars align. So we're glad to have him back, and you know, especially with where we're at right now with our team and everything going forward, he's going to be a big part of our success.
You guys feel like this team has a shot at contending when it comes to the East?
We got a shot with everybody. I mean, for me, I'm not too worried about who we have in here. It's what we do with who we have in here, right? You know, I said it the other day. There, talent comes through the door on a daily basis. Every year, there's new people drafted. There's, you know, international signings. There's high school guys. There's college guys. There's amateur. You know, the whole everybody. And it's not who you have in the clubhouse. It's what they bring to the table. And you know, I think that couldn't be any more true with where we're at right now. You know, it doesn't matter who we have in the clubhouse. It's about getting the best out of each individual person and working hard on a daily basis to get our ultimate goal, and that's winning a championship.
Well, when you talk about talent, you lose a guy like Mookie Betts. How difficult is it to replace a guy like that, and or knowing as a team now we have to elevate our game because we lost such a talented player?
Yeah, there's no doubt. That's tough. You know, Mookie's the, you know, generational talent. You know, there's nothing I can sit up here and say to alleviate that. The only thing we can do is look forward and keep pushing forward. You know, there's no question every single team that's ever been constructed would be better with Mookie Betts on that team. But that being said, he's not on our team. So, you know, we kind of have to move forward and do with, you know, play with what you got, you know, and the guys we have here have fire. They have passion and they have talent, and, you know, that's all it takes. You know, we just got to go put it together on the field and see what we get.
This is Boston, so we spend a lot of time agonizing over the past. I just wanted to ask about Mookie and I think there's this feeling around here that maybe Mookie didn't want to be here anymore. Did you, in your conversations with him or your feeling, did you get that from him?
I never got that from him personally. He never told me, I don't want to be here. I think that what he did and the situation he was in was what every single professional athlete on the planet strives to get to, and that's having the ball in your court, being the driver of the car. You know, our entire careers are being told where to go, what to do, and how to do it, and very rarely do we get these opportunities to say, listen, I'm the one making the rules. I get to make the decisions. And he did that. And not only did he maximize what was the best for him, but now for the next decade, he's set a tone. He set a precedent for people in his scenario, people in his shoes. And I'm sorry, but you can't knock a guy for that. He bettered himself. He bettered the game. And he maximized is very, very small window of opportunity.
Hey, Chris, in regards to coming back from Tommy John, have you talked to any of your teammates who have gone through it or guys around the league as to what to expect? And do you feel like you can come back and be yourself right away, or might it take a little while?
Yes and yes. I've been very kind of vocal with a lot of my teammates, you know, current teammates, former teammates, and just trying to learn as much as I can about this. And on the back side of it, there's no doubt in my mind that I can get back to, you know, who I was before, if not better than that. I have, excuse me, great help in my corner with our training staff and the Boston Red Sox organization. I got unbelievable teammates that are, you know, helping me through this process. You know, guys that have been there before with the Tommy John, and you know, just people picking me up on a daily basis. You know, that mixed with, you know, work ethic and the things that I know I can do and what I bring to the table. That's a, you know, pretty good concoction. I'm confident moving forward with everything that, you know, I basically just talked about.
Chris, what did you think of David Ortiz saying that the game is boring because essentially coaches only want kids to hit home runs and that's all they practice?
Yeah, it's interesting. I would agree with him in a way. I feel like we have kind of gotten to this very all or nothing way of playing the game. You know, home runs, strikeouts, you know, pitchers are only trying to strike guys out. Hitters are only trying to hit home runs, but, you know, I don't know what to do about it. You want me to tell AC to start, running some more hit and runs? Tell some guys to steal some bases. Is that what we need?
Well, I was gonna ask you if you could change one thing to improve the game or do one thing. What would it be?
Ooh, to be totally honest with you, this is a little bit outside of my comfort zone. But I would just, for me, my personal opinion. I don't want anyone to get offended by this. You know, burn my house down or anything. But I think that if we took shifts away, it would be a little bit more back to normal. Because, you know, watching every left-handed power-hitting player, anybody that's, you know, left-handed power hitter, has three guys over there, and if they don't hit a home run, they're bouncing it to the middle guy. And I don't know. I think that would kind of create a little bit more chaos, and you see more hits, and give you more reason to not try to maybe go yard every time. That's just me. I don't know. I'm just a starting pitcher with a expiration date.
Well, I honestly think if they did that, Ortiz might come out of retirement and play again, because he would have hit 400 if there were no shifts.
I hate to break it to you, but he should have never retired in the first place. He almost hit 400 with the shift.
That's true.
Chris, we have this conversation all the time about athletes, you know, elite franchise players, and you talk about Mookie Betts, and I know there's Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson, about guys wanting to have their voice heard and having more input with the organization on some of the decisions, or just being, you know, the recommendations that they may have. Have you ever been in that situation before, that you went to management or ownership and said, hey, I'd like this guy here, I think this guy would be a good manager?
Yeah, I mean, I've had people call me and ask me questions. I don't know, you know, I've had some... It's a very tough question, because who I am right now is a little bit different than, you know, who I was in the past, and my thought on that specific subject. You know, for me, where I sit right now is exactly what I told you earlier, is I don't care who comes through that door, player, personnel, like, I have preferences, you know, like, I obviously wanted AC to be our manager, but... If he was not, whoever sitting in that managerial seat, I play as hard as I can for 100% of the time, whatever he says goes. Players, you know, of course you want top-tier free agents. Who wouldn't have wanted Clayton Kershaw and Max Scherzer and Miguel Cabrera, Mike Trout? You know, the names can go on and on. But worrying about that, for me anyways, me personally, where I sit today as an athlete, me – I don't wrap myself around that stuff anymore, man. I can't. And it's been proven that sometimes on a given day it doesn't matter. Sports are crazy. Just give me some guys that want to play hard and show up on time and just have some guts. That's all I need.
Chris, I know you're a big family guy. You had talked to Brad Foe last spring about, you know, your relationship with your dad and how important it is for you to be there for your sons. And, you know, I know you, your wife, and the boys are Floridians, but how are you and the team handling, you know, family-type stuff with spring training with COVID restrictions? Are you able to see and interact with them? How's that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I live down here in the area, so it's a little bit easier for me, because I still pick up my kids from school. We go to, you know, soccer practice and baseball games and all that stuff. But for guys traveling in, yeah, I mean, there's definitely some hurdles to get over, you know, with some of the protocol stuff, you know, even family traveling to Florida by themselves, you know, the intake testing, all that stuff. So there's no doubt that I could see this being a challenge for guys that, you know, aren't local. You know, I think I might be one of the only, there's only a few local guys here. So, you know, we got guys from California, Texas, Dominican Republic, Venezuela, you know, Florida, Georgia, all over the place. So yeah, that would be tough. And I'm in a very fortunate situation to where I don't really have to worry about that, because I live here. So I'm definitely appreciative of that.
We found out yesterday that on opening day there will be 12% of the capacity at Fenway Park, fan-wise. Does that make a difference to you guys? Was it different playing without fans last year?
I fortunately didn't even get to experience that.
Oh yeah, true, because of the Well,
I had one game in 2015 with no fans, which was kind of creepy, but I hope that throughout the season they find a way to open it up. I'm hoping that, you know, everything kind of gets more and more back to normal with, you know, with everything in the world, obviously, but, you know, obviously now we're talking about sports and baseball, you know, that specifically. You know, the fans make it, man. I mean, it's as much as I love this game and I can go out there and compete anywhere at any time with anyone, There's absolutely no question that the fans absolutely make the atmosphere, and just him being there, the presence, you know, just the buzz, the eruptions, the oohs, the ahs, you miss that. And I'm hoping that, you know, we can get, you know, get Fenway packed full sooner rather than later.
If there's one, like, can you specifically hear something? If there's one masshole who is saying something, can you specifically hear that?
At Fenway Park, what are you talking about? How was he going to hear him? Yeah, and that's the fun, too. You know, like, that's the fun of it. But, you know, these fans come to watch our games, and they pay their hard-earned money to come watch us play and hope for us to win and give us some crap when we don't. You know, they've earned that right just as much as the next guy. And be honest with you, I miss all of it. I really do, because it's that's what we're accustomed to, you know. That Fenway Park, like, it's not like any other place. Like, it's packed all the time, and we have very passionate fans, and that helps. I mean, there's no doubt. You can ask anybody; it helps having those fans in the stands and behind our back.
So you can hear that. You can hear that guy yell, yeah, like calling you Chris Frail or whatever.
You can
like,
very
like you can clearly hear it, right?
Chris, when you talk about the passion of fans, right? And how much pressure do you put on yourself knowing that you're a big part of where this team goes and the success that they have because of, you know, who you are as a pitcher in this rotation and coming back from Tommy John? Do you think about that a lot, or are you just kind of looking at each individual day?
A little bit of both, honestly. Like, I'd be lying if I didn't tell you I don't think about that stuff. I mean, I know who I am. I know what I can do. I know, quite honestly, to be totally honest, I know what I'm supposed to do. Like, I'm supposed to do something on this team, and I know what that is. And trust me, every single day of this rehab, I'm working to get to that day. Like, there's no doubt about that. And, I mean, I just, to be totally honest with you, I just want to be good again. That's it. I want to go out there, and I want to be me. I want to win games. I want to punch tickets, and I want to be the guy that I'm supposed to be. That's it. That's the whole reason I'm here. If there was any doubt about that, I would have retired. I should just take it to the house, but I got to work my butt off to get back to being that guy and winning games and being, you know, the leader of a team.
Hey, Chris, J.D. Martinez had said he wanted to play for the Red Sox for years to come. How about you? Do you want to retire as a Red Sox?
100%. I got nowhere else to go. Got nowhere else to be. And like I said, I mean, this place is top-notch. They're unbelievable. And I like it here. I love it here. I feel comfortable here. They take care of me. They take care of my family. And we win. Check the books, man. Check the books. We win. So that's what we're here to do, and that's what we do a lot of. So I'd like to get back to that.
speaking of JD, did he give you one of those drunk Tom Brady shirts that he was wearing the other day, or?
No, man. No, he didn't. I'm a little upset about that, because that's a pro shirt. That was pretty funny.
Yes, it was.
I saw that, and that was good on JD and good on Tom Brady, too. That was fun to see.
Yeah, I was going to say, as an athlete, was it incredible to you what Tom Brady was able to do in one season? Leaving here and going to Tampa Bay and winning it?
Yes and no. I mean, yes, because any normal person would think that that's impossible. But with Tom Brady, I guess we've seen anything is possible. So, yes, it's shocking. But if because of Tom Brady, I guess no, not really. yeah, I mean, the guy's on another level now. I mean, I think he just put himself on a completely different level than any other, for sure, football player, but probably any other athlete ever. So that was impressive. So congratulations to them.
Chris, you talked about who you are as a player and what you can do. Does it inspire you at all when you see a guy at Tom Brady's age being able to do that and know that, you know, you have this picture of what you need to do and get back to where you are? Does he inspire you to say, I can do it?
Oh, man. Doing what Tom Brady does at that age and what he's done, I mean, that's going to be hard to replicate. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard not to be in awe of what he does and aspire to be that. But I've never won a Super Bowl, So going from 0 to 7 over the next, how many years do you think I got left in my prime?
Well, how many you got?
You tell us.
I don't think I'm going to get to 6 or 7 Super Bowls in that time. So
the way,
I don't know if I'm going to be able to get there.
The way baseball works, the Red Sox will still be paying you 20 years from now. So don't worry about it. I think they're still paying Manny. All right. Well, listen.
Maybe I'll get a Bobby Bonilla day.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yes. Well, listen, it's been awesome having you on. I hope we get to have you on throughout the season from time to time. And everybody here is pulling for you. So and listen, there'll be 12% of the capacity there on opening day at Fenway. So we can't wait till that happens. All right, Chris?
Us too. We're excited. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Thank you very much.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.